You're listening to SermonCoach.com podcast, and we welcome you back. We're talking with Dr. David Maines, the director of SermonCoach.com. I'm Dean Wilson, your host. And by way of review, we were talking about the need to tie all of the parts of a service to the thrust of the sermon. That included deciding on the attribute or characteristic of God that seemed to be the most appropriate worship theme. Anything you want to add to that, David?
Well, I would just add where we kind of left off last time, that there are certain attributes of God that are common to the written material that we have, whether it's hymns or praise or psalms or whatever. And then there's an awful lot about God that almost never comes up. So it leaves a person's understanding of who God is a bit truncated, because we haven't been creative enough to say, let's also praise him for the following. And some of those followings will fit far better with some of the sermons that are being created than just the standard things we know about God.
Okay. Can we start with an example?
One that I live in West Chicago, Illinois. It's about 55% Hispanic now. There are also a number of other elements from other countries that have come in. So in my mind, one of the wonderful things about God is that he is multilingual. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now try to find a hymn that praises God that he knows all kinds of languages, or he is multilingual. You won't find one. There isn't one that I know of. Hopefully, if somebody's written one that I don't know about, I'd like to know about it, because I think that's a fabulous thing to be able to know. And when people pray, to know that God can understand them, he doesn't need a translator. He has all of these languages mastered. I remember one time when we were praising God that he was multilingual when I was pastoring years back, that we started the service with that. And this service began with a prayer, and I was the one who was praying. I said, God, I praise you today that you are multilingual, that you understand many languages, not just the language I'm praying to you in. In fact, all over the world today, people are praying to you, and you are hearing them. You have this amazing ability to hear more voices than one. And we have numbers of people in our congregation who come from different countries, and they are going to start to pray to you at this time, and you'll have no trouble at all understanding what they say. And then one by one, the people began to pray in all different languages. We were by a very large medical center, largest medical center in the world. In fact, it's in the city of Chicago. And then one language after another, they're all praying together. And after they prayed for probably a little bit like a minute, from the back, the choir began to sing, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise."
Wow.
And they came in over the top of that. And I mean, it just raised your hair on the top of your head, because of a sudden, this truth was coming alive to you, that God understood all these languages. It wasn't just something that we thought, but it was actually true. It had to be creative. Now that hymn, "Oh, for a thousand tongues," that's not new, and the choir sang it beautifully, but it fit into the bigger theme that God is multilingual, which is not what that hymn is basically about.
Yeah, that's a great illustration. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here listening to you tell it, and I'm getting excited. Now, obviously, that's something you worked through and planned carefully, and the people that were praying in their various languages, that was something that was all set up ahead of time, and they knew
yes.
exactly what was going to happen. And so again, I'm going to emphasize this production concept without being crass about it, but people are expecting a flow in a service today that has an element of production in it, that means nothing more than it's simply well thought through and well planned, and that everything coordinates together and works with the sermon that's going to be preached.
Yeah, the sermon is central, and it all starts from there. What am I preaching? And then I like to, Dean, I didn't want to confuse people, but I ask myself, if I'm preaching in a church where I have control of the service, what's the subject, the response, the how-to, the how-long, and the attribute of God that goes best so that I can work on the service elements as well? So, yeah, that one was perfect. And it's amazing. If people have time, I mean, you're talking maybe 3-4 weeks time to work on a service, they can be incredibly not only creative but meaningful in what they put together. So, yeah, that's an illustration you asked for.
You have a long list of the unusual attributes of God in front of you. Where did you get that? Where did that come from?
you're looking over my shoulder. This is a list from my own private devotions. And I just want to make the point that it God is a lot more than just those 8 or 9 standards. I'm thrilled that he is. I mean, I like it that God is loving. If he was all-powerful and all-wise, but he wasn't all-loving, that would not be good. You know, so our God is spirit. There are a lot of them. I'm going to read just some of these that I have on the list, and this is only the current page of my list. I have lists and lists of these. God is detail-oriented. I like that about him. God is a sleep giver. You know, I've never heard a church that praise God that he has given us the great gift of sleep. God is the creator of our world and the world to come. I think sometimes we just praise him for what he's done, but he has a whole new world. God is a great matchmaker. God is a wise personal coach. Personal coaching is a big thing today. And I've never been in a church where I've pastored where I could nail on that one, but I would like to do that and get some of the people who are personal coaches to help me with the worship part. God is a wealth of information. God is a life changer. God is a promise keeper. He is the God of the micro and the macro. God is a networker. God is not a waster. I mean by that, he doesn't waste things. He makes use of everything. God is a miracle worker. You know, that's such a common thing in the scriptures, and you get it with Jesus. He's a miracle worker. You don't get a lot of that in the hymns. You get it sometimes in the special music that has been written, but not so much in the hymns for people to sing. He is the God of the nations. God is perfectly balanced. God is a gracious master. God is the wind in my sails. God is someone who can handle doubt. Doubt doesn't bug him. He's able to seemingly handle that without knowing that our information is limited. He is a God who is unlike Islam. I like that, and I've played with that some in my mind. The God of Islam is not the same as the God of Scripture. God is a true friend. Now, that true friend gets a little closer to where some resources are available. But again, I've taken like every third one, and this is just one list. But I do this in my private devotions many times. I start my prayer times by saying, God, I don't just want to kneel in front of you and real fast go to my requests, because I'm kneeling before a great king. And I want to tell you, and this is where I was using the language we used in a previous podcast, I want to tell you what it is I like about you. And then I tend to write these things down over a period of time, and I have pages of these. And some of them I think he thinks are a little bit dorky, and some of them I actually get the feeling that God says, you know what, Mains? I've never had anybody tell me that before. And I don't know what I think about that, but that's fine. I'll accept it from you because you're a little odd anyway. So